I'm Georgie Crawford. You're listening to the Good Glow podcast. Throughout my treatment for breast cancer, I've realised the importance of self-care. Whether that's a hike up the mountains, a checkup with your GP, or even a 5-minute pamper session, the time has come for us to put ourselves higher on our own to-do list. This season, I've teamed up with Sally Hansen. Sally Hansen herself was more than a beauty innovator and businesswoman. She believed in the importance of self-care all the way back in the 1930s. Sally Hansen believes that beauty is better when you do it yourself. So this summer, why not get a salon finish on your nails with Miracle Gel and a perfect flawless tan with the iconic Airbrush Lex Tan. And just like Sally herself, enjoy every self-caring moment of it. This week on the Good Glow podcast, I speak to Terry McAvoy. Over the last 4 months, our frontline workers carried us through this pandemic, protected us and kept everything running while we stayed home. Today, I speak to Terry about returning to nursing when we were facing the unknown. Having recently moved home from Australia, Terry didn't think twice about putting on her PPE gear and getting to work on a COVID ward. Terry hasn't spoken much about going back to work in the hospital because she just wanted to focus on the job in hand. She didn't want praise, she just wanted to help. Today she speaks to me about that journey and everything it brought. She says she hopes frontline workers will be remembered going forward and hopes we remember all they have done for us in the years to come. To all the hospital staff, shop workers and everyone who went out there and faced this pandemic head on, thank you. Terry McAvoy, welcome to the Good Glow podcast.
Hi, Georgie. Thanks for having me back.
I know. I was just saying that I've only ever had two people back on my podcast. One is Jamie, my husband, and you are the second
person. Oh, yeah. My God. I'm so privileged.
You were on my podcast last summer and I was getting a little bit of a vibe off you that you might be thinking about moving home after your wedding. So tell us about why you decided to do that.
Like, I mean, I did listen back on our podcast only recently. And I could just tell by my tone of voice. I absolutely adore Australia and I will always have a special place in my heart. But I just kind of feel like I was ready to come home. It was after my hens and I came home and it was just crazy. It was so much fun. Like, I just spent so much time with my girls and then I got back to Australia and I was like, oh my God, David, I'm so homesick. I miss my friends. I don't have those connections like that I have in Ireland. I just don't have that. You know, your tribe.
That bond.
Yeah, I just didn't have that in Australia. I had one or two friends. Like, I had my friend Stacey and my friend Sarah, but that was it. Like, they were the only people that I could confide in. Whereas here, I have so many different groups of friends and so many people that I could kind of, you know, call tomorrow and just, you know, like lay it all out and just be like, this is happening. Just kind of, you know, it's just mad. So, yeah, I just kind of, when I went back to Australia, I just felt really homesick. I started a new job. I wasn't mad about it, if I'm being honest. Like, it was just not me at all. I'm more kind of critical care. I love like trauma and I was in more of an elective surgery kind of area and it just wasn't for me. And it was also private and I love public. So, anyway, I went back and wasn't feeling it. And then when I came back to get married, as soon as my feet hit the ground here, I was like, oh my God, I think I just want to stay. How am I going to say this to Davey? He's going to kill me.
And how did he, because, you know, he's a real outdoorsy. You both are.
Yeah.
It's so different here. Yeah. What did he say?
We had packed our stuff up in Australia because there was no point in paying for rent when we weren't going to be there for so long because we came home to get married and all that. So we had all our stuff packed up and then I was kind of teasing it out that I was feeling that way. And he was like, you'd be grand. And then I wasn't grand. And I was like, David, we are staying here. And then we went on a honeymoon together after the wedding and we kind of had to make that decision. It was around that time that we were like, right, we're running out of time here because he had to go back to work and I had to go back, you know, obviously to my job. So we made the decision on honeymoon, which was kind of stressful because every morning I was waking up and, you know, you're supposed to be like chilling. I was like, oh, where am I going to live? What are we going to do? So, but I have to say, Georgie, like as soon as I made that decision, everything just fell into place. Like I was, when we got back from honeymoon, I was so stressed because we'd nowhere to live. We had no stuff. I arrived in Ireland with bikinis, like post-wedding and a wedding dress. So I was like, oh my God, what are we going to do? But it wasn't near as stressful as when I was in Australia and when I was missing my family and I didn't have those connections. It was just different. Do you know, I was able to handle that here because I had my mum to lean on, I had my dad, I had my friends, my family, you know, and I just didn't have that support network. And it just really truly showed me how important it is to have those people around you.
Yeah. And what was there a moment where you told your, you announced it, or did your mum kind of know all along that you were going to
stay? My mum knew. Right. Yeah, she knew. And a couple of my friends knew. They were like, you're not going back. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I am. And then I suppose we announced it when we came back. We're like, look, we're not going back to Australia, because we were supposed to fly back to Australia from Greece. And myself and Dave were like, look, we're not doing it. And then I put up a post on Instagram then when we got our house. And yeah, everyone was like, yay, you're staying. Some people were like, what? Because I obviously like really enjoyed my time in Australia and I had all these beautiful photos. So I'm sure a lot of people were like, what the hell? How did that come about? You know, but
I think it's so obvious though that you're both so close to your families. Yeah. So Australia might as well be a million miles away.
It is a million miles away. I mean, the time difference kills me sometimes. I was so fed up feeling homesick. I really was. Like I kept, for about a year and a half, I kept telling myself I'll feel better, and I just never did. And I remember our last conversation, you were like, how do you deal with homesickness? And I was like, I call home. And that should have been alarm bells, like, go home, like, stop ringing home for 4 years, like, just go home. So yeah, it was the best decision we ever made, because so much has happened since then, and David's gotten a great job, and we've just really enjoyed our time in Ireland. I have to say, I've a whole new set of eyes for Ireland now. And I think you need to really go away and come home to realise that. You just have to go see the world and then realise how lucky you are when you come back.
Oh, it's amazing. And you are obviously love travelling, and you guys have such a wonderful life. And who knew you were coming home to this? I mean, like when I think about when coronavirus was in China, like it was obviously going to come here, but it was like nobody was thinking about it or something.
I remember my mom saying to me, God, Terry, that's awful, isn't it? Look at all those people dying in China. Are we okay? And I was like, I'm sure they'll come up with a vaccine. And then in my head, I was kind of saying, it takes so long for a vaccine, and God, that's spreading like wildfire. This looks different to anything else that I've seen before. So I kind of kept an eye on it. And a lot of my friends did as well that work in the healthcare
sector. Yeah, I suppose you're
sector.
In that industry, so they're the conversations you're having.
But then at the same time, when people would ask, like, what do you think of that? I didn't want to be like a conspiracist. I didn't want to be like, oh my God, you know, this, it's going to come here. And I never in my wildest dreams imagined that our country would go into lockdown. Like, I thought it maybe would come here, like, you know, like other viruses have broken out before, and we'd manage it and it wouldn't be to that extent. But it's just crazy, isn't it, Georgie? Like,
crazy. I just can't get over the fact that it is June.
I know.
Where did the year go?
I feel like Sleeping Beauty, it'd be like I just slept and now it's like June. Like, what happened?
I think it's like because every day has almost been the same, that you just don't feel the time going. And you said there that you got a call from your friend and she said, you know, we need more hands on deck here. Mm. Do you hang up from that phone call and go and talk to David and go and talk to your family? And do you have to talk them around to supporting you?
Yeah, like I remember when, so I said to David before Alison rang me, because I'd been texting her and I was like, what's the story? And she was telling me all the things that were happening and that were about to come into play. And I was kind of going, God, it kind of sounds like they're going to need more hands. And then I said it to David and I was like, God, I think I'm going to have to go back. Like, and he was like, how do you feel about that? And I was like, yeah, definitely. Like, you know, I'd do it in a heartbeat. And then Alison rang me and we were down on the beach in the car eating chips. And then she'd been texting me and then she was like, "I what are you doing at the moment? I was like, I'm just having chips. And she was like, Terry, I think it's something that you might need to consider. She said, I'm not going to be the one to ask you to come back, but I just know that we need help and we need people that have been in this hospital before and we need experience and all these things. And I was like, that's no problem, I'm there, let me get all my stuff and just tell me who to contact. And she was like, grand, I'll send you on all the details. And then I got off the phone and David just sat staring out and I was like, are you okay? And he's like, I don't want my chips anymore. And I was like, it's gonna be grand. And he was like, he was just so scared. And then I suppose I never really said it to anybody else because I didn't want to worry anybody, because at the time
We didn't know.
And we were seeing all this footage coming in from Italy, and it was horrific. And I was going, oh my God, is this what's ahead for Ireland? And I think a day later we went up to David's dad's socially distantly we were picking up stuff, because I was so conscious of David's dad because he's got a heart condition. We were picking up some stuff, and he was like, what's your plans for the week? And I was like, I think I'll be back on the wards, Tony. And he was like, what? And then they're all kind of shocked. And then I told my mum and dad, and they were a bit shocked, but they were like, fair play to you, well done, you know, you're well able, Terry. Like, that's what my dad kept saying to me. He's like, you're well able. He's like, well able for this. And I was like, you know, and we are. I think Irish people are so resilient, like, you know, and Irish nurses, we are so resilient. Like, we just ran towards the flames. Like, that's what we did. It was crazy.
Oh my God, it's so inspiring to watch. And I remember when you like put up that post, and I was like, that must be hard, because your family, obviously, and David especially, you're his new wife and he wants to protect you, but you're there going. And you said this on my podcast last year, that nursing is your passion. It is. You were born to do it.
It is. And I was so ready to do it. Like, I felt at ease. Like, I didn't feel anxious at all. I felt more at ease when I knew I was going back. So I could go in my PPE and I could deliver care, and I could, you know, wash my hands. And I like, it's hard to explain. It's just, it was a sense of control, I suppose, over the virus. Yeah. And David was super anxious, obviously, for me going in. Yeah. God love him. Like, every at the lead up to it, every day he was like, so asking questions. Like, he was like, so are you going to be okay? Like, and what are we going to do when you get home? Like, I was like, we were just laughing. Like, he's like, you're going to have to strip in the hall and then go to the shower. And I'm like, you know, you had all these like things in place, God love him, like all these
little protocols. Like,
but he understood. And I think he knew that I felt reassured going back. So he was 100% behind me on it. And then, yeah, it's just so crazy. Like, it's all kind of a bit of a blur as well. It was just like, get this, you know, all my documentation from Australia. And yeah, so my documentation came through on the Wednesday, and then I started work on the Saturday. As I text, I have a close relationship with a couple of nurses that are now managers in the hospital that I was working in. And I was like, I'm going to a COVID ward. If I'm coming back, I'm going to COVID. Like, I'm not, you know, work anywhere else but COVID. And they were like, fine. So I just remember texting my manager, and I was like, hey, my registration's come through, I'm ready to start tomorrow. And she was like, okay, hold your horses. She was like, I'll just see what's the story. And she was like, okay, we need you Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I think it was like 70 hours. She was like, whatever you can do. I was like, I'll do it all. She's like, God, Terry, you came back all guns blazing. So,
and what did you feel like going in on the first day? I know you're saying that, like, it helped you knowing you were helping.
Yeah, I didn't sleep a wink the night before. Like, I was just kept waking up every hour because I hadn't nursed in 7 months. So I was anxious about that. I was like, God, I haven't been on the ward in 7 months. And I hadn't nursed in Ireland in 4 years, 4.5 years, actually. So I was like, God, am I going to remember all these protocols, and what if things have changed, and how am I going to manage? And the night before was pretty hard. And then when I woke up, I just went in and got into my scrubs, PPE'd up, and just, I remember I was on with a nurse, Myrna. She's a Philippine nurse and she's absolutely incredible. And I was on with her the first day, and I knew I was going to be fine because I'd worked for her before, and she's such a little martyr. And I was like, we're going to be grand. And I was like, right, Myrna, what do you need? And I just kind of followed her lead, because they'd already kind of established a routine, and followed her lead and just got stuck in. And there we were, I was on the ward, and I was like, what has happened? You know, it's crazy.
And what is it like to work in PPE gear?
It was tough. It was really tough. Like, obviously you've got your mask, the PPE changed a lot because obviously it was a pandemic, and it wasn't forecasted. So we were just we had to make do with what we got, but we were really well looked after, I think. And it was hard because some days you'd be in a hazmat suit. So that's like the hood, the gloves, the mask, the visor, like everything, just head to toe. And it was so warm. It was so warm. And you would be going in to do your normal daily nursing care. So you'd be going in and giving your patients full body washes, showers, like checking their obs, giving their medications. You know, if you had an emergency or an arrest or anything like that, you would be doing what you would normally do in your nurse's uniform. So it was very physical, very, very warm. And I just remember one day, I'd been in and I gave like 3 or 4 bed washes one after the other, and I was doing obs and I was like, I'll be back in a second to the student. And I just went down and went on my hunkers because I thought I was going to faint. I was like, oh no, don't faint, this is going to be so embarrassing, please don't faint. Like, mortified. So just went down my hunkers and then I was grand. And then the same like with the other girls, like quite a few times, like the girls would come in and be like, I need a break, and you'd be like, go, just, you know, doff off, take off your stuff, go get a cup of tea, glass of water, whatever you need, and come back. But yeah, you kind of get into a routine of it. Like in the mornings I didn't drink much because I knew I'd be in the PPE for like 3 or 4 hours, so it'd be hard to, you couldn't pee unless you doffed off, like, and yeah. Then, you know, doffing off and doffing on, you're more at risk of contaminating your actual scrubs and yourself, and you want to do that as little as often. So I wouldn't eat or drink much because I didn't want to go to the toilet. And then at 10 o'clock you'd get your break, so I'd like drink everything at like 10:05 and hope to God my kidneys would have it all like ready for my bladder by 10:25, so you'd be able to go to the toilet. But yeah,
God, and like what you must be, are you in that gear, and if you ever catch a glimpse of yourself in a mirror, are you like, what is happening?
Yeah, like I had a few moments where I was like, what has just happened? Like I was in Australia, then I got married, and 3 months later, a fecking pandemic hit the world. And here I am back in the hospital I was in 5 years ago. And it just, there was so many times where I was like, what is happening? Or like you would go into a patient, like I'm a sucker for little old men, like I love them. And I'd go into a little old man and like I'd be chatting away to him. And I'd be like, he can't see my face. He can't see that I'm smiling at him. And all he can see is my eyes. And that was a killer. Like, because all I wanted to do was reassure them. Mm-hmm. Like that's all I wanted to do, was just to let them know it was okay. And It was tough in that sense. But yeah, there was quite a few times where I was like, what is happening?
And then as well, on top of that, like it's not like you could go home and see your parents or see David's family. Like I just remember during that time, like obviously all the nurses and doctors were going out every day and they were saying, you know, there's nothing more we'd rather do than sit at home, but we can't, we're going out. But I just remember like missing my mum.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't even think about it without crying. Thinking about Jamie's mum, you know, and I was just like, like it was just so hard. So
yeah. And I'd say that was like, that reminded you of when you were sick.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It really brought me back to 2017 when basically doctor said cancel everything for a year. And then I was thinking about people who are cancer patients during this, and people who are going through something, this on top of it is so difficult.
Yeah.
But thank God for amazing nurses and doctors like you who give up your life to protect patients.
Yeah, and I hate even thinking of myself as one of those people, because I wasn't nursing like before I went back. I think there's so many nurses and doctors and healthcare attendants and kitchen staff that deserve so much credit. Like they deserve so much credit. And they were there before me, and they'll be there after me. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes I feel even guilty when people are like, well done. I'm like, no, you don't see the other people that are there on the ward.
Yeah, but that's so amazing that you say that. You're like, you're so humble. And it's nice like that you give people like that a voice. And you know, it is down to the people who clean the hospitals.
Oh my God, absolutely. Like there was a cleaner on the ward, and I remember going up to her and being like, thank you so much for today, like thanks for having all the bins emptied, thanks for this and the other. And she got upset and she was like, I was like, are you okay? And she was like, yeah, it's really hard coming in here every day and knowing that there's COVID and I have a family at home. And I was like, nobody thinks of that, those people, those essential workers, because they are absolutely essential. They keep us safe. Like they are so important, like in this whole thing. And the kitchen staff, like they didn't sign up for this. They didn't sign up to go onto a COVID ward and hand people their dinners. Like I pitied them so much. And they had to be trained in on how to use PPE. And they had to be trained in on what to do and how to look after themselves. And that's a scary thing. And nurses and doctors, we signed up for that. Like we did, because we have always looked after infectious diseases like TB. Mm-hmm. We've always masked up. We've always looked after, you know, viruses like HIV, and we knew what we were getting into. But I just feel like a lot of the staff didn't sign up for that, and I pitied them. And I truly believe that they need the biggest round of applause.
Mm. They are truly heroes. Yeah,
I have one hope, and I just hope that nurses never, ever have to march in Ireland for equal pay and to be paid correctly. I just hope that when things arise and the unions are fighting for things for nurses, that people remember that. And I hope that they never have to march for that after this, because they deserve it.
Absolutely. I hope we don't forget. I really do. And tell us about morale in the staff rooms and things like that. And I know you'd always kind of give a shout out to the people that were sending in food and things like that. Did that help?
So good. It was so good. It was the morale was quite good. Like, obviously there was days where it was tough, considering, you know, what comes with COVID. Like, there was definitely days where we'd be a little bit down, because, you know, people were passing away and things. But the morale overall was quite good. We all really leaned on each other. My manager Ruth, she's incredible. Like, she's excellent at what she does. I'd love for her to be here today. And yeah, it was really nice to have meals delivered every day and little gifts. And I was reaching out to brands. I was like, hey, you know, I've got these 30 amazing girls working on the ward. Is there any chance that we could get them looked after? And I know so many brands did send in stuff. God, I don't want to start naming people in case I forget. But there were so many brands, and it really was appreciated. And I really know it was, because the look on the girls' faces when they would see it in the staff room, they were like, oh my God, this is great. And Penny's even sent in stuff like pajamas. When Penny's was closed, everyone just wanted pajamas and pants and socks, and we got sent that. And it was like the biggest party. We were like, oh my God. And they sent in different sizes, and it was absolutely amazing. They sent in stock for the patients as well, which was so fab. Like, you know, because obviously they couldn't have family members come up to the wards. So it was so nice to go into the patients and be like, look what Penny sent. Here's some bras and here's some pants and here's some pajamas. And they were delighted, because they, you know, they had nothing really. Like, and especially the old people, they had like just hospital gowns and like bits and bobs, and they didn't have that much. And then brands are like, and organizations are sending up like toothbrushes, toothpaste, like shaving foam, razors, crosswords, coloring books. Like, really, they really thought about what they were sending, and it was just so incredible to see Ireland come together, and like for brands to come together and do that. It was just so kind. I couldn't believe it.
Wow, I hadn't heard of that.
Yeah.
And you know, when we saw the videos and pictures of Irish nurses and doctors coming home from abroad.
Yeah.
What did you know anybody that did that, or?
I didn't actually know anybody that came home, but I did see it, and I was just like, I was blown away. I was like nearly in tears looking at it. I was like, this just goes to show what kind of country we are. We just really stand together, like, and shoulder to shoulder, like, all the way. It was just so amazing to see them coming home and getting set up. And I know how difficult it is to come home from living abroad. And to do it in a pandemic, well, it must have been absolutely insane. And then getting all your documentation together, because I know how stressful that can be. I hope that they all got to get in and get stuck in at the time, because I did read that there's quite a lot of people that came home, they didn't get in and get stuck in. And look, there's two ways you can look at that. It's like shame that they didn't, but how good that there's not enough COVID patients to have, you know, extra nurses put on towards. Like, at the moment I'm not actively working because there's not enough COVID patients on the wards, which is incredible. And I'm on standby at the moment. I'm ready to rock. My contract's still there. I'm ready to go in. If they need me tomorrow, I'll go in, no problem. But, you know, there's two ways of looking at it as well. Like, you know.
Yeah.
So
what an amazing job from everyone involved in keeping people safe. And I know so many people have been affected by it. Mm. But I suppose Ireland's response to it was really great. And I think the majority of people did what they were told, which was stay
home.
They did.
And I have to say, like, it was only a couple of times, like, and I think it was because I was probably hypersensitive to it, that during when it was like really intense and we had the 2 km restrictions in, I feel like I only seen like a couple of gangs of people together. But when I did, I got really upset, because I was seeing the other side of it. I was seeing the families not being able to get in to their loved one who was unfortunately passing away due to COVID. And I was so angry. But overall, I feel like we've done an incredible job. Like, you just have to look at the statistics. Like, we didn't flatten the curve. We pushed that curve down. you know. And I think it takes such an incredible effort to do something like that.
I know that you've trained to be a nurse and it's your job, but it must be just so hard sometimes when you're losing people.
Yeah, it is definitely. It's heartbreaking, like, because I suppose the normal way of it happening when somebody is unfortunately passing away, you have their family there and you have protocols, and COVID just, like, it would happen so fast, you know, and family members couldn't be there, so it was really difficult. And I'm very fortunate that I have got 9 years experience, and I've dealt with a lot of death, and I've worked quite a lot with palliative patients, and I'm fortunate to have that experience behind me. But it was just, I was so worried about the junior staff because the volume that it was happening, I was really worried about them. I was like, oh my god, you know. When I had seen, like, a death, say if I was looking after a patient, they passed away, for like a couple of days I'd debrief with my colleagues that were looking after that patient, and, you know, you'd think about them and you'd have a chance to digest it and pay them respects in your own little way, like, you know, you'd think about it and hope that their family are okay. And then it was just the volume that it was happening at. I don't feel like the junior staff got to do that, and they didn't get to process it. So I was concerned about them. And then myself, I was pretty okay. I think one or two really resonated within me, just like a few things just really kind of struck a chord with me, and it was a bit hard, but we got there. And I think Irish nurses, as I said, we are quite resilient, and we just have to keep moving forward and mark those people. I thought, I seen the little clip that they did on RTE, Brian Tuberty. Did you watch that? Yeah. When he mentioned all the people that had passed away, and he paid respects to him. I just thought that was absolutely amazing. And I think as well, I think it's important that when we do get that little notification on our phone that says two deaths today and four cases, that we yes, it's positive, but that's two families that have lost somebody.
Yeah.
And I think you need to remember that. And that's why we are social distancing. That's why we're washing our hands. That's why we're wearing our masks when we're as advised. And that's why we're adhering to guidelines, is because each of those numbers is a human being. They've had a past. They've had a family. They've had friends. And we need to remember that they're not just a statistic. And we need to keep that number as low as possible, so we don't see people losing family members. And that's what it boils down to.
When it comes to masks and things, and you see people not wearing masks, I think we're going to see more people starting to wear them now, because I think there's kind of a bigger discussion around them.
Yeah.
But I mean, wearing a mask just seems like common sense at this point.
Yeah. And like, I think it's important as well. Like I said to David the other day, because he was getting frustrated. He was like, I was in Tesco there and nobody had a mask on. I was like, David, this is a pandemic. It's the first one in our lifetime, and a lot of people are still figuring out. So they're still being educated, and we're still learning, and we're still developing. And I just think, instead of getting like angry with people or angry at the situation, we just need to educate. So like, masks, I think, are definitely common sense. And it's not about, well, of course it's about protecting yourself, but it's more so COVID. Some people have COVID and they don't know. Like, I had a patient who had COVID and had zero symptoms and just had to stay with us because he was high risk and he had a lot of comorbidities. I mean, it's to protect the vulnerable. It's in case you have COVID and in case you transmit that to somebody who's vulnerable, and then they become one of those numbers I was talking about. That's what it's about. So it's about protecting everyone around you, washing your hands, wearing the mask in spaces where social distancing is difficult. I mean, myself and David have been wearing masks in shops since day dot, because obviously I knew, like, as a healthcare professional, droplet precautions, you're just gonna wear a mask. It makes common sense. So I just think that we do need to start doing that. I see so many different masks around the place, like some really nice ones, some that you can get online. Just make sure that you have got a seal with your masks. Although they're very pretty and they're like sparkly, just make sure that you have got the seal and it fits you appropriately.
And what do you mean by a seal?
So there's no point in wearing a mask that has two big openings at the side of your cheeks.
Okay.
So you're looking for a mask that's going to cover your nose and your mouth, and it's going to create a seal, so a physical seal around your chin and your mouth and your nose. And, you know, when you're a nurse and you're going to be looking after infectious diseases and droplet precaution situations, you are fit tested. So not one size fits all. So yeah, there's certain masks that fit certain people. So it's important that you know that one size doesn't fit all. And
yeah,
to shop around and make sure that you're safe and you're keeping others safe as well.
Yeah, because myself, I had a dentist appointment on Monday and I was bringing Pia because she was getting her teeth done as well. And I put a mask on her and like she's three. She is very accepting of it. Like she keeps pointing at people and saying, why is that person wearing a mask? And I said, well, you know, the cough is still here and we need to be careful and we don't want to catch the cough. So she did wear one, but it was so weird to see my small little toddler with a mask on and
know,
then going in and getting her temperature taken and stuff. But I suppose it will just become normal life.
Yeah, until we get a hold of this, and I truly believe that we will. I do believe we will overcome this, and I'm confident that there will be a vaccine and the vulnerable will be able to be protected. So hopefully it's not for forever. I don't believe it will be forever, but there'll definitely be an element of erring on the side of caution for the next year or two, I'd say.
Yeah, because I was saying to my mum, like, you'll probably never go to a shopping centre and you know, just say there is we do get it under control and there's a vaccine and all that. We will probably always still see someone wearing a mask forever now because people just won't take the risk.
I know. And it's like Asia. Every time myself and David went to Asia, we'd see people with masks on. And it was obviously because there was an outbreak of like bird flu or swine flu, which is so common around those areas and it's so contagious. And we used to kind of say, what the hell are they wearing that for? Like, is it pollution? Is it what? Is it this, that, or the other? But obviously they were doing it for protection. And I do think that it will be a common practice here in Ireland, especially for those who are vulnerable, like especially for those, and especially for those areas that are difficult to socially distance in. So yeah, I just can't wait for it to start coming back to normal. I just want my normal little life back.
I know.
And I'm sure you do too, and everyone else.
Absolutely. Like I miss just kind of just going out as a family and you know, going out for breakfast or just doing the nice things that or the park run.
I know.
You know, just little things like that.
Yeah.
But I could see on your days off, you would head down to your local beach.
Oh, yeah.
And what does the beach do for you?
It just keeps me sane. It always has. It's just always been my favorite place. Like, I love the ocean. I love swimming in the ocean. I love.
Like, do you get in?
I have started recently. Now I'm a cold creature. So if the water's cold, not a hope. But recently I have been getting in and it's so refreshing. It's amazing. And especially where we're living, like, it's just so, so beautiful. And there's just something special about looking out into the distance and not being able to see anything but sky and sea, and then they just touch. Like, I just absolutely love that feeling. I love just looking out at that and just being, just thinking to myself where I want to go, what I want to see, and just, yeah, just it's
dreaming.
It's magic. Yeah, just dreaming away.
And you have a new addition to your family.
I do, Jake.
Tell us about Jake.
So Jake is a little rescue. So the day before Leo said the announcement, I seen a picture of him. So my friend Alison, she messaged me and said, there's this dog and he's down the pound, and Dogs Angels Ireland have taken him into their care, meaning that, you know, he's underneath their care. So he was down the pound and she said, do you want to go down and see him? And I was like, I'll take him. And she was like, Terry, you have to go down and see him. And I was like, no, I need a dog. Like, I need an animal. Like, I need animals to make me feel like sane. So David, he came home from work and I was like, hey, there's this dog. And he was like, no. And I was like, please, I just want to see him. I just want to look at him. And he was like, you just want to look at him. And I was like, yeah, he's down in the pound. So he's like, okay, I'll bring you to look at him. We'll have a think about it, Terry, but we're not taking him. And I was like, okay. But I had like a collar and a lead in the back of the car. And then we got down there and the guy brought him out of the pound and I could see where he was. Like, it was like this concrete little block with a plastic bed. And I was like, no way, he's coming home. And yeah, we brought him home and he has been the best thing that's ever happened to me. Like, he kept me sane after my shifts. He definitely was on this earth before. You can just tell by his eyes. He's so clever. He's so in tune with me. Like, I remember I was getting upset one day I was watching something really sad on the TV, and he just came and sat in my lap and like put his face in front of mine like, are you okay? Do you need me to get you anything? Like, he was just looking at me. And Dave absolutely fell in love with him. Like, they're the best of pals. And I just can't believe he was in the pound. I just don't understand it.
Oh, at all.
And I just, yeah, I just, I'd love for people to be like adopting little doggies that are sitting in the pound. And now is such a good time as well, because God knows when we're going to get to travel again. And, you know, working from home is definitely going to be something that's going to be implemented, I do think. Yeah. So yeah, there's loads of doggies there like Jake.
Oh, he's absolutely gorgeous. And you can see the bond that you have. Tell us then about your wedding, because I think I saw that it's 9 months since your wedding.
Yeah, how insane.
Like, did you feel, like, I know we were all waiting to see pictures from your wedding. I'll just be honest.
Were you?
Yeah, because, you know, like everyone knew you were getting married. Yeah. It was like, oh God. And I remember Audrey, my friend who follows you too, she's like, did you see Terry's dress? I was like, no, yeah, it was fab. Because I know you were nervous about the dress picture and all that. Yeah. But how did you feel on the day? You probably didn't care anyone thought.
No, I didn't care. Like, I was so in two minds, Georgie. I was like, am I going to? Am I not? Am I going to? And then I kind of said to myself, I don't think I will. I think I'll just leave it and I won't. And then the morning of the wedding, like, we were all getting ready and we were just so in the moment. And one of the girls took a photo for me, because the photographers are obviously like running around taking photos, and she took a photo for me. And I was like, oh, that's really nice. And she was like, do you want to post it? Is that the one? And I was like, okay, let me have a look at it. And then I got it ready, and I just had my phone to Nikki. When I say I got it ready, I literally put it into the square on Instagram.
Yeah.
And wrote just married. And I was like, okay. And I was like, at about 4 o'clock, post it, because I didn't want it going up obviously before David had seen me. And I just handed over my phone, and that was it. And I didn't even know
what the reaction was
until, I think it was one of the groomsmen was like, Terry, there's like 6,000 comments underneath that photo. And I was like, what? We were like obviously drunk at this stage, like had a few wines, and I was like, what? 6,000 comments? And then I was like, God, don't tell me anymore, because I was so worried that, like, I don't know, that somebody would write something that they didn't like my dress. And although, of course, like, you know, I'm old enough to know that that doesn't matter, but still, I would have been heartbroken.
Yeah, yeah.
If I had seen something.
Well, you looked absolutely amazing. Well, and thanks, your wedding look, like, I think people who follow you can see that you and David are soulmates.
Yeah, we are. We are, until he takes out the Hoover. Then we're just like the world's worst enemies. I'm like, why do you have to Hoover so much? But yeah, no, he's my best friend.
I wish I had the same complaint about Jamie, but Jamie never Hoovers. I think I need to get a Dyson for him to want. Oh, do you have the Dyson?
No, and everyone keeps telling me to feckin' buy him a Dyson. I'm not getting him a Dyson.
No, because he'll do it
all the time. Yeah. He has like this rubbish Hoover, and it's an effort to get it out. It's an effort to plug it in. It's an effort to set it up. So leave it at that, because if it's easier, I'll never get a minute's peace. Like,
that's what Jamie always says. He's like, I would Hoover more if our Hoover wasn't so annoying. Well, that's his excuse anyway. But so you obviously had so many plans for 2020. That do you like accept that, or are you someone who, are you like, oh, I wish I was away, or are you just kind of accepting of what's happening?
I think I go in between. Like, I definitely had like an epiphany where I was like, I feel like COVID was needed. No, I mean that in the sense of to make us all sit still.
Yeah.
And I feel like it really, I was on this like warpath of just seeing the world. I was like, tick, 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 need to see all these places. I have a bucket list and I need to get all this done. And I was just on this warpath of trying to do it all. And COVID made me sit in my house and think about what I've done. And it was like, sit still and appreciate what you have. And that's exactly what I've done. And it's really made me appreciate where I live, my health, my family. And it's also forced me to go explore like places around Dublin. And I'm sure you've seen on Instagram all the little cracks and crevices that we've come across and the lovely little beaches. And I've like a new appreciation for Ireland and everything that it has to offer. And yes, I'm dying to get back traveling, but this year for sure I'm just focusing more on like staycations. Like, myself and David have got like a folder on our phones where we're like screenshotting pictures of Ireland, like the Ring of Kerry. I've never seen that. There's so many places up in Northern Ireland that I want to see. Northern Ireland, it looks insane, by the way. Like, and yeah, we're just gonna do that for the year. And obviously we're hoping to get away for our wedding anniversary. Like, I think that'd be really special to get away for. And maybe one more trip, but I'm not going to kill myself. Like, I'm definitely not going to be going back to the way that I was, where I was like off somewhere every 2 or 3 weeks. Now I'm probably going to eat my words as soon as this is all I got, but I'm going to try and start living in the moment and appreciating home a little bit more.
It's like when I got sick, I for the first time looked in the past, mm-hmm. because before I got sick, I was so busy, I had a really busy job, and it was always go, 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 look forward, what's next? And then when I got sick, I was like, whoa, it kind of makes you think about, you know, what you've done and the now and the present moment.
What was it all about? What was it all about? I mean, your health is your wealth, and you know that. And COVID really drove that home for so many people, but that was probably a lesson that you already learned. That was a lesson you already learned. And it probably made you look back and say, God, I was living at such a fast pace. I was doing so much with myself, and I had all these deadlines and goals, and here I am. And all that matters is that I get better. Mm-hmm. And COVID did that to the majority of people, I think. Like, it did for sure. For sure, it did it to me. Like, I mean, I'm definitely...
And all the people who like sit in traffic for an hour and a half into work and sit in traffic for an hour home from work. And now if they're working from home, they're getting up, and instead of sitting in traffic, they're going for a walk or going for a run or whatever people are doing. I think, and a lot of people who listen to this podcast have got in touch and said, whoa, like my life has changed forever. Like, because my old life doesn't suit me anymore.
No, I don't want to go back to the way that it was. I mean, like, this week I have a few things on in the city, and I was like, oh no, I hope it's not going to start going back to the way it was, where I was like in, out every day, like such a fast pace. And I was talking to Siobhan, who's my agent, and I was like, I really don't want to go back to that. And she was like, well, then don't go back to that. You know, start making changes that suit you, and you know, take the lesson and apply it to your life. Like, slow down, appreciate what you have. Your health is your wealth. Chill.
I at the moment, the way all of our work was cancelled, like I'm sure for you as well. So all that I had after about a couple of weeks, we adapted. So all my corporate talks moved online, which was great. Now, my corporate talks are about self-care and, you know, looking after yourself before you get a cancer diagnosis and all of these things, which is I personally think is a really important message. It's about self-care in and out of work. And then my podcast is about the same thing and checking your breaths and reminding people. And I was like, God, like the two things that are so important to me are the only two things that I still have really. And but it actually doesn't matter, because my corporate talks and my podcast comes back to my message.
Yes.
And this, I really believe this has been the best season of my podcast, because I feel so in flow with it, and I've reconnected with nature. Yeah. And I'm actually doing a podcast next week, you'll like this, on nature. And I'm going forest bathing on Friday.
Wow.
And just doing these little things for myself again.
Amazing.
And I'd love to hear from people who are listening today how they feel about everything that's going on and what changes they've made. Because like you said, we are in such 2020 is going to change lives.
It is. It definitely is. And for the better. Like, I mean, we were just going too fast. We were. And everybody is saying it, like every single person. It's not just a handful of people. Everyone was just like, God, what were we at? Like going that fast. And even the travel end of things, like it was just too much, wasn't it? It was just.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Terry, you are amazing. And I know that every time someone tells you that you're great, and you always say, yeah, well, there's nurses and doctors that have always worked harder than me. And you always say that, but just take this now from me. You are amazing at what you do. Thank you to every single doctor and nurse that's listening to this podcast for what you've done for us.
And OTs, and I wish I could mention everybody, cleaners, lab technicians, every single person, like ward clerks, like everyone just deserves the biggest round of applause. Like, and I'm absolutely honored to come back on the podcast, and I was absolutely honored to go back and stand side by side those people. And we did it. We did a great job, and we just need to continue doing the great job.
Can't wait to see what you do next. And you are taking on the world step at a time. So fair play to you. And thank you so much for coming on my podcast
again. Thanks, Georgie. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Good Glow podcast, with thanks to Sally Hansen. As we all find ourselves washing our hands so much more these days, why not take better care of our nails with Sally Hansen's Cuticle Oil or Complete Care 7-in-1. You can shop the products at grocery stores and pharmacies nationwide, such as Dunn Stores and Macaulay's Health and Beauty, and online too. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. And for more on my story, follow me on Instagram.